Thanks, Darren, band. Wow. Hi, everyone. Good morning. My name is David Croft. I'm a deacon here at Discovery. You might be more familiar with me. Sometimes I host on stage, just like Steve was just doing. Sometimes I say hello to you as you come in on the Connections team. Today, I have the honor of leading the conversation this morning. But before we get into that, one more time, let's jump into prayer. Whew. God, as we talk today about the rhythm of right relationship with others, there is certainly a lot of room for all of us to grow more and more into the person of Jesus. So would you give us courage to press into that, to be excited about what you have in store for us? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this actually isn't my first time being here on stage. It is my first time in a while. I was reflecting on this throughout the past couple of weeks, and there's actually a lot in common with the last time I was on stage. A lot of it actually not too fantastic. So a couple of years ago, as I was preparing to be on stage, really poor mental health, actually. And so when Steve asked me, hey, David, can you give the talk, in the upcoming year, January 5th? I was like, yeah, sure, I'd love to. Last time, I wasn't doing so great, but this time I am doing pretty great. If you were able to catch that a little bit before, today is not January 5th because my physical health took a huge turn and I could not even get five words out on January 5th. Last time, a couple years ago, the Friday before the sermon, as I was getting out of the car, my phone fell out of my pocket, hit the ground, cracked, screen wouldn't turn on, I had no phone. This year, Wednesday before the sermon, got home from playing Ultimate Frisbee, tried to turn my phone on, kind of it spazzed out, the battery said 54%, then 11%, and then it died. So I have been this whole week without a phone. Now I know, next time I talk, get a warranty on my phone. Luckily, or fortunately, whatever you want to say, I did get better. It was actually this upcoming Monday. I still was not sure if my voice was going to be good enough to be able to talk to you this morning. I went to NC, NC North. We meet on Monday. I was like, hey, y'all, shout out to NC North and all the NCs. I'm like, hey, y'all, I need prayer for this. Like, I've been sick 3 weeks. My voice has not gotten any better. Tuesday morning, I wake up, and I'm like, my voice is, like, good to go. Wednesday morning, I wake up, and I was singing in the car again. Like, it was amazing stuff. Hopefully you don't need any more reasons to join an NC. Go join an NC, but if you need one more reason, like, we'll pray for each other. How awesome is that? Well, as we continue our conversation on right relationship, we've talked about the up, right relationship with God, the in, with each other here in church. Today, we're talking about the out, right relationship with community. Our guiding text throughout this whole conversation has been Acts 2. Right at the start of Acts, Jesus had already come. He had lived. He had died on the cross, was resurrected. He gave some last instructions. He's like, the Holy Spirit is going to come to you. You're going to be my witnesses. So Acts 2 starts. Peter was witnessing what he saw with Jesus. 3,000 people joined the church that day. Very effective witness, I must say. And then we jump into the passage we've been looking at, starting in verse 42. They devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So we've talked about this passage in a couple of different contexts, right? Up in... Personally, I think for us in Davis 2025, one of the most amazing things about this passage actually comes in that last verse, verse 47, where it says, enjoying the favor of all the people. I'm not sure if everyone's experience with people outside the church, what they tell you about what they think of Christians is the same as mine, but usually it's not super favorable. But what would it look like for people, for us, to enjoy the favor of others? What would we need to do? What would we need to be? That is one of kind of the big questions going into today. There's a very poor interpretation of a verse in John 15. That poor interpretation goes something like this. Hey, if people don't like you, that's when you know you're really spiritual. Or if people don't like you, that's when you know you're following Jesus. This verse right here, verse 47, does a really good job of dispelling that right away, right? This is the most effective time of evangelism in history. 3,000 people in one day. This wasn't the time when everyone hated Christians the most. That was actually probably, 50 years after this with Nero. The Christians enjoyed the favor of all people. So I think the thing to notice about this is God's kingdom, the kingdom of right relationships, living into the kingdom of right relationships does not mean you're going to be hated by all people. One thing it very much might mean, though, God's mission is opposed to the forces of the world, right? God's mission is certainly not opposed to you, your neighbors, your family. God is very much for us. God's mission is opposed to the forces of this world. Let me tell you, if the systems that perpetuate exploitation, that perpetuate injustice, if those systems are against you, if the people who benefit from those systems are against you, maybe that's the time where you pat yourself on the back, be like, hey, like, I'm doing God's work. So hopefully, we're on the same page about, hey, let's not be jerks. From my experience with all of y'all at Discovery, I'd say most of you are very much on that page. I haven't really ever experienced someone not being on the page. And actually, I'm going to flatter y'all for a bit. I think that if everyone out there was as awesome as y'all, living in right relationship with others would be a whole lot easier. It was actually, when I was thinking about this, it was when I get to choose the people that I'm in a relationship with. Obviously, I've chosen to be a part of the Discovery community. There's a couple of other communities here in Davis. I mentioned Ultimate Frisbee. But when I get to choose the people that I'm in a relationship with, it tends to be pretty easy, right? If it wasn't, I probably wouldn't choose them. It's when we don't choose coworkers, neighbors, family. That's when it can be pretty tough living in right relationship. So how do we do it? How do we live in right relationship with the world, with the 8 billion people out there? In one sense, obviously, it is an impossible task. If you look at marriage statistics, we as humans are not great at living in right relationship with one person. How do we live in right relationship with 8 billion different people? So yes, in one hand, it is this impossible task. Even one person is impossible to do it perfect. But in another sense, as Christians, we have this amazing thing where the one person who does have it perfect, we are in relationship with him. So yes, the task is too big for us, but yes, we have the source of the only possible solution. We love others because he first loved us. We are generous towards others, right? Generous with our time, our treasure, and our talents in response to his generosity towards us. We can radically forgive others when we remember his radical forgiveness for us. Discovery, if you want to be a source of goodness to your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends, not just the people who are easy to get along with, start with God. Know God's goodness for you and live into that. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. About a month ago, I had the surprisingly difficult experience of taking Amtrak from Davis to Seattle. You hop on about 11 p.m., you arrive about 9 p.m., and the reason it was so difficult is I was assigned a seat, and that seat just happened to be right next to the opening between where all of the passengers go to, like, where all of the food is. So throughout the entire night, if anyone ever wanted food for any reason, they'd go, there'd be an incredibly loud creak as it opened, you'd hear the train rattling for about 15 seconds, the light would turn on really bright, and 11 p.m., I would wake up. So about 20, 30 wake-ups into the night, it was about 3 a.m., I decided, okay, this is too much for me. I'm going to give up on sleeping for this ride. So I went down, grabbed some coffee. As I was getting ready to go up, the person behind me who had a cane in her hand, she had gotten coffee, she had gotten snacks, she had gotten like five different things. If you've been on Amtrak before, you know the steps are like really steep. You know, you're reaching all the way up there. I'm just looking at her, and I'm like, there is no way she is getting back to her place. So I kind of like look at the employee. He kind of looks back at me, and he's not going to do anything. And I was like, all right, like, I know it's going to be a long night, but I'm going to help her out. So I do help her back to her space, get back to my seat, and let me tell you, I'm patting myself on the back. I'm like, David, you did such a good thing today. Like, good job, you know. but I kind of, I get to think about it, and I was like, why was this so obvious? Like, why, you know, wasn't it like, David, like, it's another thing. Like, why was it so obvious that I should just help her out? Well, it turns out the year before that, I had another difficult traveling experience. This one to Japan. And during this entire traveling experience, at least most of it, I was in a wheelchair. If this is news to you, you know, don't worry, I got better. But yeah, I was in a wheelchair. So if I wanted to visit Mount Fuji or something, you know, my brother would push me along on the wheelchair to the subway. We'd have this interesting interaction where there's usually like two handicapped seats or, you know, seats for elderly or mothers. He would push me, kind of point me towards the seats. Like, there'd be this eye contact between, like, me and someone who's, like, 75, you know, and the conversation that's happening but not really happening is, like, who gets those seats? And every time, without fail, other than once, they very happily, you know, with a smile on their face, would get up and let me take the seat. And if you ever want a humbling experience, have, you know, mothers of young children and people well into their 80s very happily say, like, oh, you deserve this more than me. So kind of throughout the entire trip, I had this thought, like, is this right? Should people who already have it a little bit more difficult in life give up their space for me? And one thing that I came to as I thought about this day in and day out was, like, yes, not only is this, like, okay, like, they're happy to do it, they're happy to serve, because they understand, okay, things are a little bit difficult right now, but we can help this person out. So fast forward to this Amtrak train, 2024, yes, my night was going terribly. If I had a friend next to me on that car, I would have been ranting about it. Well, they would have also known how impossible it was to sleep. But when I, in my difficult situation, saw this other person in their difficult situation, yeah, I'm happy to help them out. Because for a month in Japan, I had been discipled by the elderly ladies on the train. God was discipling me through these elderly ladies on the train. So as we think about, like, how can I be the type of person that becomes, like, the person who is in right relationship with all others? Yes, you can't. Yes, there's Jesus. But a little bit day after day, you can get a little bit closer. Isn't it funny how day by day, nothing changes, but when we look back, everything is different? Discovery, if you want to press into right relationship with others, press into Jesus. Well, throughout this series, we've had kind of our own series of relational kingdom challenges, here is this week's relational kingdom challenge. Should be up here. Yes, approach one area of discipleship with childlike faith. What do I mean by childlike faith? Some of you gospel gurus out there might get the reference. Jesus said, if you want to enter the kingdom in heaven, you must become like little children. What does that have anything to do with discipleship? I'll give you three ways that has to do with discipleship. First thing, know that you are loved. Right? In a perfect world, any child, kind of, they go out, they explore the scary world with the assurance that, yes, they are loved. No matter how scary the world gets, you know, their parents are going to be there for them. Discovery, we have a good father. If we're going to press into, honestly, one of the scariest things about life, you know, our own flaws, how we break shalom, go into that with the assurance that you are loved. Number two, children rely on others. If there's something you're lacking in, I think it's pretty clear you're not the expert on that, so go pray. Go share with your neighborhood community. As I was going through kind of like a difficult time preparing for this sermon, I was sharing with Steve, hey, my voice isn't doing too good. I'm not sure if I'll make it through. We kind of worked that out. Last time I gave the talk, I didn't share with anyone. I decided, oh man, I'm just going to hunker down. I'm just going to do this. Share with community. Pray. Don't do this alone. Number three, for this one, I enlisted the help of a friend of ours. Just do it. There we go. Thanks, Shia. right? This is one of the scariest things. Like, with apologies to heights, public speaking, Black Widows, all of the things. For me, probably the scariest thing I do in life is confront all the things I don't like about me. I can make a million excuses for why I don't want to confront things. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. Maybe it's not that bad. Maybe that relationship isn't so important. But really, just do it, right? Steve, Kayla, you know, you can give amazing sermons. You can totally agree with anything that's said here on stage. But really, when it comes down to it, just do it. Speaking of just doing it, there is a team here at Discovery that is really good at doing it. It's not a team I imagine a lot of you even know about. You know, they don't get time here on stage. This is our good neighbor team. There we go. It's also a newer team. The Good Neighbor team does some amazing things. They partner with some amazing organizations. You probably see some of them on screen right there. And more than just partnering with organizations, they do some amazing things like on their own with us as a church. I'm actually going to have Michael come up. He's a part of the Good Neighbor team, also a great friend of mine. So give it up for Michael.
Hello.
Hey, man. All right, got a few questions for you. First off, what is the Good Neighbor Team, and why did you become a part of it?
Awesome. The Good Neighbor Team, there's like a group of us that, well, kind of like David mentioned, we partner with some of the various organizations in YOLO. So we try to like organize like some opportunities and things for outreach that the church can participate in. A couple months ago, we did partnered with Stake, like talking to some of the NCs, making sure that they're informed. So, like a clothing drive and food, like stuff like that. Something else that we do on Sunday mornings, like some of us will go out and walk through like downtown Davis, just passing out coffee and donuts to like the unhoused. So just having like conversations with them or any items that we can get. In the past, we've also like worked with the church too, like here to like get some items to pass out. And I think what led me to get involved with that, I think like growing up, oftentimes, whenever we encountered the in-house, like as a kid, I remember like the most we would interact with them is just passing out like, or just giving them like spare change. And that was that. Then a couple years ago, my friend Brian Knight, who also goes to this church, he told me that like, oh yeah, he like goes out Sunday mornings passing out coffee and donuts. I was like, oh, cool. And he's like, do you want to come? I was like, oh, sure. So to be honest, I was like curious about that and I wanted to just press into that. I wasn't sure what to expect. And then just going every like Sunday, I was like, yeah, this is awesome. And I was looking forward to it. And then as I continued doing that, I was thinking more and more about like outreach. Like what are like gifts and talents I have? Me, I like talking to people and meeting people, and I was able to express that there on Sunday mornings. And then I was thinking like as a larger church body, what are some like gifts and talents that people have and places like they would like to partner with? So I was excited about joining the neighbor team when I got offered the opportunity. And I was like, yeah, I could help people figure out like some places or things they can go that they could like feel passionate about and just, you know, serving people and helping others. Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah. So as you've served on the Good Neighbor team, what's something that you've learned or something that God has taught you through what you've done?
I think something I learned is how doing a little could turn into a lot. Like for instance, something I've like come to realize like on Sunday mornings is how much people look forward to us, like passing out coffee or donuts or whatever we happen to have. Like, you know, I'll do it for like a string of weeks, it'll be a month or something, then I'll take one day off, and then next week, it's like, where were you? like, oh, we were looking for you. I was like, oh, shoot, I'm so sorry. and then I realized, like, yeah, how much of an impact that has, like, just the conversations that we're able to have and things that we're able to do. And then even just, like, with, like, outreach opportunities, like, getting the ball rolling on something, like, helping people, like, get involved, making sure those resources and things are available. And then, like, seeing, like, those things come to fruition. It's kind of just being on, like, the back end and just, like, oh yeah, like, okay, this has to be in by this date, it has to be in by this time, but just showing up and putting a little bit of effort and then watching the results of that happen. And it's like, awesome. I'm glad I put in the time.
Yeah, I was grabbing coffee with Michael a couple months ago, and originally we were meeting at Pachamama, shout out to Steve. I saw his hand go up when I said that, wow. We were meeting at Pachamama, but we decided to move to Mishka's, sorry, Steve. and just from the walk from Pachamama to Mishka's, I think there was probably three different unhoused people who like very energetically was like, Mikey!
Oh yeah.
and it's just like, you make a huge difference in these people's lives. You and the good neighbors, so shout out to y'all. All right, last question, and kind of like as you're answering this, I'm also going to have the worship team kind of come back up. So say someone here has an incredible opportunity for us to be good neighbors to Discovery that they want us to join in on, or maybe they want to join in with stuff that you're already doing. What can they do? Who do they talk to? Do they email in person? What's that?
Yeah, I mean, you could talk to me. I think there's a couple people here too. I know Jane's here. She's also on the team. There's Brian, there's Mabel, so yeah, I mean, you can email me, you could, talk to me, I'm here at church, so happy to chat, so yeah, if there's, like, some sort of, like, opportunity or thing you're passionate about, and you'd like to bring that to the larger church body, just, yeah, get in contact with me, be happy to chat, figure that out, or if you just want to, like, come out on a Sunday morning, also chat with me. I'd be happy to, you know, talk to you about what we do. We meet up at, like, Pete's Coffee, 8 a.m. Inside, and then go from there. So if you're ever free on a Sunday morning before church and just want to meet some of the out-in-house folks in Davis, be happy to chat.
There you go. Yeah. Thanks, Michael.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good for Michael. So again, any questions about the Good Neighbor team, talk to Michael, talk to any of the people he mentioned. As we kind of transition to our time of communion, the greatest example of someone fighting through their fears for right relationship is Jesus coming to earth, going to the cross, dying for our sins. Right, Jesus was betrayed, abandoned, but he did not give up on shalom. So as we take these elements, the bread representing the body of Jesus, the juice representing the blood of Jesus, remember Jesus' sacrifice for you, for us. Let Jesus be your inspiration to fight for shalom. There's also going to be an opportunity to pray. I'll be on one side of the theater. Steve will be on the other. So if you need someone to pray with, we would be delighted to pray with you. But take the elements, Jesus' body and blood, in remembrance of him.